It's simple. I mean, we're calling it I Love My Church. Now, as you see, we've got yard signs. We've got t-shirts. Some of you signed up for t-shirts. We bought extra t-shirts. If you want a t-shirt, we'll talk about why it's important. These t-shirts could be really important for us and for our church. But for the next 5 weeks or so, we're just going to talk about why church. I mean, if I asked you that today, why are you here? Are you here just because, man, when I grew up, we just went to church on Sunday? You know, are you here because, you know, something happened in your life and you just said, listen, God, if you'll take care of this, I promise you I will be in church every day for the rest of the year. You know, why are you here? And then the other question is, why aren't other people here? You know, why aren't other people here? I want to start this morning with just this quick thing where I'm just going to throw out a name of a place. And I want you to kind of respond back to me. So this is, you can't go to sleep yet. You've got to be ready to respond here at the first. I'm going to say a name of a place, and then I want you just to kind of give me the first thought that comes into your mind. So if I said this, the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, what's the first thing? Anybody want to yell out something when I say DMV? Horrible. Long lines. Anybody here love to go to the DMV? No, yeah. Isn't that true? I mean, we all got this opinion. You know, in fact, when I drive by, that little place in Hempstead past Walmart where I took all the girls to do their, you know, I just kind of get this, ooh, I don't want to go there because I imagine these long lines and waiting, and it's just crazy. Here's another one. Are y'all ready? Dentist office. Yeah. We immediately, and like I said, I know some great dentists. You might have a great dentist. I know some dentists that have done things that have made their waiting area and the whole experience better. But we all kind of have this gut reaction when the word dentist office is, we just go, right? I don't want to go there. There's going to be pain there. There's going to be hurt there. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. Okay, let's shift it a little bit. I experienced this one last night. If I say the place Olive Garden. Any positive responses there? You know, I was joking last night, but some people just love Olive Garden, right? They love the salad, they love the breadsticks, they love all the Italian food. In fact, while we were there at Olive, we went early because we realized around 6 o'clock what's going to start happening at Olive Garden. A line. Now I want you to think about that for a second. Olive Garden in Cyprus, within probably a mile radius, there's at least 20, maybe 30 different restaurants. But people love Olive Garden so much, right, that every seat in that restaurant will be completely filled, and then there'll be happy people sitting on benches for 20 to 30 minutes waiting on their experience to start. So it's really different than the DMV or the dentist office. People want, for some reason, to go to Olive Garden or just put in your favorite restaurant. All right, now here comes the hard part. DMV, dentist office, favorite restaurant? Yeah, Waller Baptist Church. And that's why you're here this morning, right? But what if we went out into Waller, the city, and we said, Waller Baptist Church? Do you think more people would have a DMV thought? Oh, I don't want to go in there. Oh, that's, or do they have a Olive Garden? We're going to line up. I hope they have two services, because if I get in the first one, I'm going to wait on the, I mean, which experience? How would people, what do you think people in our community, if we just draw a 10-mile radius around Waller Baptist Church? Now, here's what I want to say, and it's what you want to say too, right? We want to say they would be the Olive Garden experience with Waller Baptist. They're going, yes, I love Waller Baptist. But if we look around, right, we don't have a waiting line. There's not people saying, hey, is there, we don't even need ushers right now. I'm sorry to say, something must be a little bit more dentist office about what we're doing here. Now, here's the challenge, is for us not to just go, well, that's just the way it is. You know, just what if instead we said, why is that? What are we doing that's not putting in the community a deep desire to be in here on Sunday morning? And that's why we're doing a series called I Love My Church, because you must love your church. You're here right now, but there's something at that door that is stopping that thought of going out into our communities. So what is it? What is it about the church? Why does God have a church? Why does God have Waller Baptist Church? We're just going to kind of sink into that just a little bit this morning, and then we're going to sink into particular parts of it. Here's what I'm hoping you get out of this series. First, I hope you get out of this series, that's it. That's why I love my church. Then what I hope is that you not only see, wow, that's it, I can finally put it into words, what I get out of coming to church, but I want to go out and share that with other people. And as we start sharing with other people about what God does for us inside the church, I think we'll start seeing some of these rows fill up. So let's talk first. In any situation, in any of those things that we just talked about, the first thing you have to say is, do you have a good product, right? Do you have a good product? You know, if you don't have a good product, you can do everything else right, but nobody's going to want it because it's not a good product. So I ask you, here at Waller Baptist Church, not a trick question whatsoever, do we have a good product? Oh my goodness. We have the greatest thing in the entire universe right here. The knowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Creator of the world, loved you and 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 loved all, even up there, loved y'all so much that He died on the cross so that your sins could be completely wiped clean, so that you could have an eternity. And let me say it again, an eternity with Jesus Christ and God in a relationship that goes on forever, not on this earth, but starting first in heaven, and then at some point after the return of Jesus Christ, on a new earth and a new heaven with no sickness, no pain, a just complete relationship with God. That's what we offer. And not only do we offer that, we offer a Holy Spirit that says, once you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit fills you up and allows you to lean into God in this life while we're waiting on eternity. It is the greatest thing in the entire world. There is nothing better. There is nothing else that you could put up that even comes close to comparing to what God says is what we get, the greatest gift. We have the greatest product. Uh-oh. How many people in Waller need to hear about that product? Yeah. How many people are dying with no relationship to Jesus Christ? How many people are going through divorce and sickness and pain with no Holy Spirit to lean into, for the Spirit to wrap their arms around them, to grab them by the hand, but they're instead are just hopeless because of what they're going through? How many people within a block of this church, how many people within a mile of this church desperately need Jesus Christ? I can't even fathom. So it's not our product. We've got a great product. We've got something that people should desire. Something that we know that if we get it into their life and we teach them how to walk in the Spirit, as the Bible says, and to lean into God and to read His truth and to apply it and to get into community, we've got the greatest product. So I'm going to go ahead and just put check on that. You know, check. We've got a great product. So what's the next thing? Any business out there, you got to have a good product. And then you got to have good service. Good service. How do you deliver your great product? How do you get it out there to them, right? You know, now for us, it's a really interesting thing because I've studied this. We've got this incredible product of Jesus Christ, but how are we doing at getting it out there where people want it? Here's a word I want you to hear. Are we applying our great product to the needs of the people in our community? Are we, you know, I could get up here every Sunday and just read scripture to you. And listen, that would be a way to share the Bible, right? I could just read it to you. But the problem with just reading it to you is that at times it's hard for that to connect to what's going on in your life. There has to be an understanding that these people and you have needs. And what I want to take is I want to take this incredible truth of the scripture and show you how it applies to your needs. And that way, you want to be here and get this. If I didn't do that, if we didn't do that, then people would go, you know, it's great. They read the Bible in there. But that means nothing to my life. So there's two kind of needs. Two kind of needs. First, there's felt needs. Kind of physical needs. You know, things that I feel. You know, do we connect what we're doing here, our incredible truth, to the felt needs of people? Now, let me kind of give an example. I heard a pastor give this example one time, and it's just stuck in my head. If right after church today, I said, we're going to have a class, guys. It's going to be a great class. That class is going to be on the most efficient and fast way to change a tire. Okay, y'all got it? The most efficient and fast way to change a tire. And I said, everybody needs to come to this class on the most efficient and fast way to change a tire. How many of you would give up lunch and say, hey, I'm staying for that? Yeah, probably none of you, right? Well, you know, A, you know, probably already know how to change a tire. And, you know, when you're out there changing a tire, you don't really need to be that fast. You know. Or, you know, you just kind of go, well, I don't really need that right now, right? I don't really need a class on the most fast, efficient way to change a tire. But let me add one more little thing to that, my story. What if I told you that I know without a shadow of a doubt that tonight, once it gets dark, somehow or another, you're going to end up in the very worst neighborhood in Houston. It's dark and you have a flat tire. And I'm telling you, that's going to happen tonight. How many people want to stay for my class on the fastest and most efficient way to change a tire? Right? Yeah, suddenly it shifts because you have a need now, right? It goes from, that was great information. I didn't change any of the information. The information is exactly the same. The thing that changed was your understanding that that information is important to my needs. It's important to my needs. So how are we doing at meeting the felt needs of people in our community? It's why I do series. You know, when I talk about stress, or I talk about peace, or I talk about, you know, marital issues. You know, we've done marriage sermon series. We've done a raising kids sermon series. And some of y'all sit there and go, Blake, that has nothing to do with me. Why are you preaching on raising kids? I'm 80 years old. I don't have any kids at home. Why are you? And here, I want you to hear this. It's because we have to realize that this community has felt needs. And one of those felt needs is I need to be a better parent. And if we can take the unchanging truth of the Bible and find a way to apply it to a felt need that someone has in this community, we're going to get them in here, and then we're going to not only meet their felt need, but we're going to tell them about the greatest truth ever. How are we doing on meeting felt needs? It's why we do Sunday school, right? We have children's Sunday school, we have youth Sunday school, and we have adult Sunday school. Why do we divide them up like that? Because I can't reach the felt needs of children, teenagers, and adults all in one opportunity. I can to a certain extent, but I can do it a lot better. Like this morning, I was with the children's ministry in the gym. We were watching a cartoon, right, show, a kind of a live-action mixture of cartoons about the idea of how great God is. Now, that wouldn't work in your class, probably. You'd go, oh, that's childish. Yeah, it is. It's childish. So we do it for children. You know, teenagers, the same thing. They're going to want something that talks about the greatness of God, but it circles what the need of a teenager is. And adults, same way. We're going to still talk about the greatness of God, but it's going to be circling the way that an adult feels. It's that those felt needs. Is this right to do? Is this wrong? Well, I say it's right because Jesus did it. You look through Jesus' story. He circles biblical truth around farming sometimes. Man went out and planted seeds. You got these people going, oh, I know about seeds. Oh, yeah, I've thrown seeds. But was he talking about farming? No, he's talking about biblical truth. But he's saying, I know you got a need. I know there's things that you know about. Sometimes he talks about fishing. Sometimes he talks about health. He heals people. Is healing people good? Yeah, but Jesus just didn't heal people. He wanted to get a biblical truth across, and he used healing as a way. If you look at the Lazarus story, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Y'all know what he does right before he raises Lazarus from the dead? He does what I call a sermon prayer, where he prays so that people know why he's doing what he's doing. He said, Dear Father, I know that you're there, and I know I don't even have to ask, but I'm fixing to raise Lazarus, and I want these people to see how powerful you are. Lazarus, come out. Right? He did a miracle, but the miracle wasn't just for the miracle's sake. There was a felt need in that area of this sorrow for that dead person. And he connected that need with the truth of God. He did it with family issues. He did it with food a lot, right? Feed them. You know, he didn't feed everybody every time, but he would use those occasions where he would feed thousands of people so that he could tell them about how much God loves them. It's in the same way here. You're going to see us. We're going to do an Easter egg hunt this year. Amen? Right, Tony? Yeah. Now, is an Easter egg hunt, is that a spiritual thing? No, but it's a need our community has. And what we hope to do by doing an Easter egg hunt is to meet a need our community has and then tell them about the truth of Jesus Christ. We're going to do a vacation Bible school this year that has a space theme. There's no aliens in the Bible that I've found yet. But we're going to use how much kids love aliens and space to get up and to share with them about how much Jesus loves them. You know, if I just said, bring your kids here and we're going to tell them about sin and salvation, nobody's going to bring their kids for that. But if I say, we're going to have an outer space VBS, I'm hoping we can fill this place up. Church, how are we doing at recognizing that people have needs in our community and using that to meet their needs and then take that time to share about the truth that we have in the scriptures? Now, more than felt needs, there's real needs. I like to say this. Once you become a Christian, you have some real spiritual needs. You have some real spiritual needs. So not only do we want to reach people with their physical needs, but we've got to be a church reaching out with spiritual needs. Let me show you in Acts chapter 2, the first kind of church meeting that went on. I want to kind of show you some of this real spiritual needs that were there. Acts chapter 2, and we start in verse 42. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that incredible? They were in a situation where their spiritual needs were being met, and what happened? The pews started filling up. what are the spiritual needs? Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about different spiritual needs. In this passage, there was a spiritual need for worship. They were gathering together. They were learning about God. They were praying together. There's a spiritual need for community and connecting. And they were eating together, and they were praying for each other. There was a spiritual need for serving other people. Come over to my house. There was a spiritual need for giving. They sold things to help each other out. There was a spiritual need for the opportunity to share what's going on within this community of believers. Listen, I don't think that's accidental that this passage is there, and this is what they were doing as God started increasing. What was happening is their spiritual needs were being met. The spiritual need of worship, connecting, serving, giving, sharing. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You need to be feeding the Holy Spirit this spiritual food, and the church is the place where that starts to happen. If you're not worshiping, then you're not feeding your spirit. If you're not giving, you're not feeding your spirit. If you're not serving somewhere, part of your spirit is not getting fed. If you're not sharing, and all those things, we kind of go, oh, I don't know about giving. Here he goes, talking about money again. No, stop that. I'm talking about your spirit needs to have that heart of I want to give to others. And we're going to take a whole Sunday and talk about it. I'm not going to talk about tithing. I might talk a little bit about it. But I'm just going to talk about why is that healthy for your spirit to give? Why is it healthy for you to serve? Why is it healthy for you to share? Why is it so healthy for us to have community and fellowship here? How many enjoyed the chili cook-off last week? Right? Thank you, Tony, for kind of coming up with some of that stuff. Let's give Tony a hand back there. But the reason I liked it, Tony, is our church just got together and had a good time. We got together and ate some food. Uh-oh, breaking bread. We got to, in a couple weeks, I think Thomas just told you, we're going to do a pray and play night. We're going to spend 10 or 15 minutes praying together as a church, and we're going to have a game night. Because we need fellowship. We need community. And maybe once we start experiencing that here, it'll spread out through our community. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So we got our product is truth. Our service is how we deliver that truth. But I want to talk to you about a third thing. And I was at a conference on Thursday here in town. I'll be in Houston. About four of us went to it. And I just love how God does this, where I'm working on something. Some of y'all have told me that before, how sometimes the sermon I give, like the day before, the day after, you'll pick up your daily devotion, and it's on the same thing. And so God kind of did that to me this week. You know, I'm at this conference, and the special speaker got up, and he said, I want to talk to you about the culture of your church. And I was going, oh, is this going to be any good? Is this going to, I don't know, culture, blah, blah, blah. And then he started shifting in to how important soundtracks are to movies. Now, I'm a movie buff. I love to go to the movies. I love watching movies on TV. I don't have my Trivial Pursuit kind of brain like some people have about movies, but I love movies. And so when he said soundtrack, I said, oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I want to hear more about this. And he said, do you ever think about how important a soundtrack is to a movie? And I was just kind of going, well, I guess so. And I wish I'd had time, because after Thursday, I drove out to Abilene with Sarah to go look at a college. And so I didn't have time to download some of the stuff that he had. But at this conference, oh, it's so great, he said, how many of y'all know the theme to Rocky? Y'all remember that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, when you start thinking about the theme to Rocky, what visions come to your mind? Going up the steps. Yeah. Before that, he's hitting the steak, the carcass, the meat. He's doing one-handed push-ups. But the scene we really remember is him running, and then he gets a bum ba ba bum ba bum ba ba bum ba da da, and he gets to the top, and y'all remember what he does at the top? He had, someone had gone in and got the original cut to Rocky. You could tell it's original because it had all the other sound effects and all the other spoken parts to it. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. But they had removed the soundtrack from it. So all it was Rocky running, and you'd hear his feet clopping, because you know, I guess they'd come in and put that sound in, and you'd hear his voice, "Hey guys, hey guys." And then they shoot to that one where he's climbing the stairs, and he gets to the top, and it looks so dumb, you know, because there's no music going on, and he just runs around in the circle, and then he does this, and he goes, "Hey." And then we all just started laughing. And here was the point. Then he showed it again with the theme track behind it. I mean, the soundtrack. And it was exciting. And it was powerful. And it wasn't funny at all. And the only difference was the soundtrack. What's going on in the background? And this is what that gentleman said on Thursday. He said, "The soundtrack to your church is the culture of your church. You've got your product. You've got your way you serve your product. You know, you're the Sunday school or the service or preaching or whatever. But he said, then there's this culture, which is the soundtrack. And he said, what's the culture in your church? Now, I experienced how this can work on Friday. Me and Sarah were in Abilene, and we woke up and we went to get some breakfast at Chick-fil-A. How many of y'all go to Chick-fil-A? I'm using a lot of restaurants in this sermon. Chick-fil-A has a culture, doesn't it? I mean, they got good chicken. They've got great service, you know, and they're takeout, I mean, your drive-through line, fastest thing you'll ever see. But the culture of Chick-fil-A is a, how can I be of service? You know, how can I serve you today? There's another line that they say, my pleasure. Yeah, can I do something? It's my pleasure. Well, me and Sarah, we drive through the drive-thru. It went quick. We ordered some little chicken minis, delicious. And we get up there, and the young lady serving said, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" And she wasn't smiling. And I just kind of looked. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I looked behind her, and there were five or six other Chick-fil-A employees behind her, and none of them were smiling. And there was just something awkward. And I said, and as we were driving away, I said to Sarah, I said, "Sarah, did you see that?" She said, "None of them were smiling." And because we're so used to the culture at Chick-fil-A that stuck out to us. They weren't smiling. Why wouldn't they be smiling? If that was McDonald's, Taco Bell, anywhere else, we wouldn't have thought anything of that. We go, "Oh, they got our food." But at Chick-fil-A, because their culture is so strong, there's an expectation I have now that when I go there, I'm going to see smiling faces. I mean, it's just what it is. Now, here's the question. What's the culture of our church? How are we doing at that? Let me tell you what the culture of our church should be. John chapter 13. Verse number 34 and 35, Jesus says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." He didn't say, if you teach the Bible, everybody's going to know that you're my disciple. That's our truth. Trust me, Jesus wanted us to preach the Bible. He didn't say, if you met everybody's felt needs in the community, that they're going to know you're my disciples. He was talking about the soundtrack. He said, this is what people should hear when they come into your door. You should do those things. You should preach the truth. But there should be this theme of, we love each other. We love each other. People should walk into our church and feel it so much like we do at Chick-fil-A that if they walked in here and they didn't notice loving each other, they're going to walk out at the end. There's something wrong with that church. Can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but the soundtrack was wrong. Boy, could that be part of our problem? Maybe we don't have our soundtrack down. Maybe we're not loving each other like we should. Maybe that's not the theme that people hear when they walk in here. I'm just throwing it out there. what is loving each other like? I mean, there's different kinds of love, right? If we're, while I'm on it, might as well do another restaurant. Me and Rebecca, when we were in Tyler, Texas, our first youth ministry church, there was a Mexican restaurant down the road called Mercado's. Rebecca grew up in Texas, so she knew Mexican food. I'm from Tennessee, so not as much, but I'd been in Texas for 5 or 6 years, so I knew good Mexican food. But there was something about Mercado's that we just loved. I don't know if it was the garlic and the hot sauce that they had, or they would bring out melted butter with homemade tortillas before the, you know, it was just, we would go out of our way, right? Someone says, where do you want to go to eat? Mercado's, you know? When we were in Tyler, that was kind of the hangout place. That was the go. They had the ice cream machine. I love the ice cream machine. Take the cone up there, zoom like that. I learned how to make the twirls. Y'all know how to make the twirl. Never mind. Okay, and then, but we love, in fact, yeah, I went to Tyler a couple of weeks ago for the Texas Baptist Convention, and I made sure that I went to Mercado's while I was there. I love Mercado's. I still do to this day. I love it. I also love my children. Right? I took a whole day or 2 days and drove Sarah to Abilene, Texas to look at a college. You know, I'm all the time checking in on Sam and Sydney, you know, Shay, and I just love my kids. Now, here's the difference between those two different kinds of love. I love both of them, but they're different love, right? This love is based on what can you do for me? What can you do for me? Can you bring me some hot sauce? I brought Rebecca back from Mercado's that day, a big jug of hot sauce, because, you know, as long as they're serving the good hot sauce, we like Mercado's. You know, what can you do? In fact, when a restaurant doesn't do what you want it to do, you know, sometimes we get on and we leave a bad review, right? You know, bad service, all this, weren't smiling at the drive-thru window, you know, whatever it is, you know, you kind of put a bad thing on there. Listen, I promise you this, no matter what my children do, I'll never get on the internet and leave a bad review about them. Yeah, I won't. You'll never say, oh, Sarah did that this morning, right? It's a different kind of love. It's a relational love. I love Sarah because of who she is. I love Shay because of who she is. I love Sam because of who she is. I love Sydney because of who she is. No matter what they do, I will always have a deep relational love for my children. They can't mess it up. Mercado's can. You know, they could give me a real bad meal 5 or 6 times in a row and I won't go back. But I'll never lose it. That's the love we're talking about in here. Do you have a relational love with each other? Do we have that coming together? How do you get that? Well, first, you got to be intentional. You got to say, listen, you're different than me. you might like different music. You might like different way a building looks. You might like a different way of Bible study, a different kind of preaching. But I'm going to intentionally love you. I'm going to set my mind on the people in here that I love you. 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 I'm just, it's done. We have a relationship. And are you going to bother me sometimes? Sure. But it doesn't change the fact that I love you. And then as we go through these things that I mentioned a while ago, service and giving and worshiping together and fellowshipping together, that intentional love I have for you would just start growing deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. As we start doing those spiritual needs, you're going to find it's going to be so much easier to spiritually love each other. Let me go back to Acts again and read that last part of that Acts. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together and with glad and sincere hearts. That's part of their theme track, wasn't it? Those people have glad and sincere hearts. With glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And then it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, how do you think that happened? We don't know. It really could have been. It really could have been this. They're in there doing their thing, and God just said, okay, you over there, you go to that house. I know you don't know what's going on in that house, but you go to, and you over here, you, it's Tuesday, five of you people over here, I want you to go to that house. It could be that way. Bible doesn't say. I don't think it was. I don't think it was when God adding daily to him. I don't think it was a supernatural God adding daily. Could have been. Here's what I think it was. I was thinking they're meeting together. They're having that spiritual need met. Their theme track is I love you. Their truth is the greatest truth in the entire universe. And as they went out every day to the store, as they went to the post office, they stopped at Bucky's in Jerusalem, right? Yep. As they went anywhere, on their lips was this, I love my church. No, I'm serious. I love my church. I love my church. I can't tell you. In my church, my physical needs are getting met. My spiritual needs are getting met. There's this great just sound when I walk into that church where I feel loved by people, by God, and people in the community were hearing them talk. And they said, can I come? Can I come? Can I come? And the Bible says, every day, new people showing up. Every day, new people showing up. Every day, new people showing up. Listen, this is just a sermon. I'm just kind of telling you my thoughts. But for some reason, this sounds right. That if we really focus in on our product, how much Jesus loves us, if we really focus in on meeting people's physical and spiritual needs, and if there is a theme song of love going throughout this entire place, I think these rows will start getting filled up. I really do. What about you? Now, I'm going to give you just something to go with. We have some more of these signs. It'd be easy, really, just to stick it in your front yard. Just a sign. I think Thomas challenged you last week to take your sign and do a little selfie if you're a Facebook or Instagram or whatever person, and just have that picture on your Instagram or Facebook this week or next week, you know, because that's pretty cool. And we have T-shirts. When I was at that conference on Thursday, I had on a T-shirt that said, Grace wins every time. Grace wins every time. It's one I picked up at a concert, and I really just like the thought of it. Grace wins every time. And as I walk through this church, with, I mean, it's full of Christian people. Come on, I get it. But I can't tell you, there's probably 7 or 8 people who stopped me and said, I love your shirt. And it kind of threw me off. I'm going, they're looking at my shirt. quit looking at my body. But it's really when you wear something, you notice what it says. And you kind of look and go, oh, interesting. And they read my shirt, and it said, Grace wins every time. And that for something inside them wanted to go, hey, I like your shirt. Now, if we wear these shirts, isn't it neat that more than likely someone's going to come up to you and go, you love your church? And you can just take a second and go, yeah, you ought to come. Yeah, you ought to come this Sunday. Yeah, I'll come by and pick you up. We can do lunch afterwards if you want. I mean, it can open a conversation just wearing a shirt. And on top of that, it reminds you, you know, hey, why did God, what's the purpose of being here every morning? The purpose is that we're hearing about the greatest truth, we're getting our needs met, both physical and spiritual, and we're loving each other in a special way. That's why for the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're just going to talk about some of those different things on how important community is, how important serving is, and bring people because they'll hear it. Because I'm not just going to say, hey, do it. I'm going to tell you biblically, spiritually, physically, what does that do for you? That's your challenge this week. Tell someone that you love your church and invite them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for who you are. God, that you loved us so much that you created the church. You could have just given us a Bible. You could have just gave us music. But God, in your wisdom, you said, no, my church is going to be a body. God, I thank you for that. God, help us to not try and just go, this is all about me here in this room. But God, help us to desire to be a full and complete and working body of Christ. Father, help us to care about the people around here. And Father, in that, strangely enough, the more we do that, the more we're going to fulfill and help ourselves. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, as we enter this time of reflection and time to respond, you know, maybe today there's something that your heart's kind of breaking about, and as a body, you need some love, right? That's what we do here. We love people. If you've got something like that on your heart and you want to come pray, I'm down here. You just want to kneel here. If you want to turn to the person next to you and say, hey, could you pray for me? Great time to do that. Maybe today you're thinking, you know what Blake just said? I don't have that in my life. And you want to say, I want to join the church today. It's great. We're gonna love you, and we're going to help you in those spiritual and physical needs. Right now would be a great time for God just to stir your heart. And you come on down here and say, I want to join. I'll talk to you about it. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart. And we say this every week, that all these things I said don't mean anything. If you've never taken that first step in the greatest truth, that Jesus Christ died on a cross and gave his righteousness to you, took your sin on him to pay the price so that you can have a relationship with God forever. I would love to tell you more about that. During this time of singing, sing along, pray, come down and talk to me.